Ted Marr broadcasting, or actually broadcasting from the, I was going to say from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States, in North America, in the Milky Way galaxy. But actually today we have a very, very special program. It's we're broadcasting actually from 12 miles away from the base of Mount Adams at James Gillian's fabulous UFO ranch. We're having a Skywatch this weekend. If you're in Seattle, you are only 5 or 6 hours directly by car from here, or if you're in the Portland area, it's probably perhaps 2 hours, if that, from less than 2 hours from Portland. So if you are in the area and would like to come up, please, by all means, come to Trout Lake. We're doing the radio show now. I'll be giving a talk with James a little later today, and then another talk tomorrow at 4 p.m. And I don't know if you know, if you haven't been up to Mount Adams, energy vortexes on the West Coast. There's one energy vortex at Mount Adams and a second one at Mount Shasta. I was at Mount Shasta about 3 weeks ago, and the spell at both places is that it's very, very close. It's next to portals which lead into the inner Earth. Now, when I've been here before at Mount Adams, at night, you actually see the UFOs going in and out the south side of Mount Adams, and it's one of the few places in the world where you can see UFOs up close up. You can always, and if you see, when you see a UFO, you can always say, "Scotty, beam me up. There's no intelligent life on this planet," but as a joke. But they are here, and every time I've been here, I have seen the UFOs. And tonight promises to be probably a pretty incredible evening. What people will do too, we'll all get together and we'll. To power up, and they'll make this big bright white light in the sky, and then they'll take off. One time I was here in July, and James, we were out at a special healing vortex out in the middle of the field here, and the vortex itself had a place where he called down a Pleiadian ship that was in the fifth and sixth dimensions. And that ship came down, actually came close to where we were, and there were seven purple whitish orbs which floated down from the spacecraft. So it was pretty incredible. There's another little spot here on the property, and I call it a Lemurian Healing Center. It's full of trees, and the trees actually can meditate. More about that place, but it's an incredible place. Quietly, they will come in and actually, please come to Trout Lake. It'd be great to see you. And I don't think there's any rooms left, but there's plenty of camping spots available if you'd like to come down. This program focuses on out of this world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. And the purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this planet a far better and far happier place. And I know with everyone's help, we'll do it. We'll make this planet a better place. We are the fastest growing spiritual, psychic, and UFO radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. And I think you'll really enjoy today's show. Before we start, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage in Tacoma, which is located at 3802 South Cedar Street in Tacoma. It's just down the street from the Tacoma Mall on 38th Street. It's a wonderful place, and I urge you to visit if you are in the area. Before we begin, I'd also like to thank the other many wonderful sponsors of the show, including my friend Carol, who's been designing a website, providing wonderful support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who helped me start the program, my dear friend Michiko Hayashi at Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, who's been a great inspiration and a supporter, as well as my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know have been supporting the show off-planet, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help this program would not have been possible. You can always listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Seattle time, at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld1150 and clicking on any one of our guests. I also wanted to tell you that next month, from October 11th through the 22nd, I will be joining a tour group sponsored by Alexa Soares from Brazil. She's doing a special spiritual tour to Hawaii We'll be meeting a gentleman, Dr. Len Hugh, on the Big Island, who specializes in the Ho'oponopono special water prayer. This was a favorite water prayer of Dr. Moto before he passed away last year. And the water prayer itself is directed to the children, I always direct it to the children of Fukushima and the children of Japan and the Moto Peace Project. And so what I'd like to do now is just do a short prayer for these beautiful kids of Fukushima. It does help them. It's a short little prayer, and I'd just appreciate it if you could say this three times, and while you're saying it, visualize golden light and love around Fukushima, the beautiful people of Japan, and the Moto Peace Project. It goes something like this. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. And again, just twice. It's a simple little prayer, but it's very powerful and does help. Water, we please forgive us. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. Water, we thank you. And finally, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. Water, we thank you. Just with those simple words, Dr. Moto showed before he passed away last year that you can actually change the physical molecular structure of water on the electron microscope level to beautiful water crystal patterns. And if you do that to water, think of what you can do to make the world a much better place based upon peace. You can also clean up Fukushima, too. I know that from my contacts in the Galactic Alliance, they've stepped in since last year, cleaned up a lot of the Pacific, and also the radiation around Japan. If we had not had their help by now, we'd have real trouble, because much of the Pacific would be totally radioactive. And actually, about a year and a half ago, there was a radioactive plume of water coming from Japan that was 10 times more radioactive than all the bombs dropped since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So in April of last year, I went out and did water sampling, testing of the waters off the Washington coast, and found, and what happened is that the radiation had completely disappeared. Then I talked to my friend Scott Lemriel, who's been a contact dean of the Galactic Alliance, and he said that they'd come in and step cleaned up much of the Pacific, and they're continuing to clean it up, but we still have to do our part as well. The other thing I wanted to tell people, that for those of you in Japan, I will be giving a series of presentations and seminars on the Galactic Alliance and how we can contact these wonderful, benevolent space beings. I'll be in Tokyo, Nagoya, and Osaka, Japan from approximately November 10th through the 14th, organized with a wonderful guy named Greg Sullivan of JSETI, which is the Japanese counterpart of eSETI. eSETI here is James' organization. I can't remember what all the acronym stands for, but I'll plan to ask James as soon as he gets here in a few minutes. But if you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll be happy to give you the details. I also will be doing some readings as well while I'm in Japan, and all proceeds, 100% of all monies collected during that time, during the readings, will be donated directly to the Moto Peace Project. Now, I can't say enough good things about the Moto Peace Project. One of the things that they do is that they provide angel water to the kids of Fukushima. Angel water helps prevent cancer, which is a wonderful project, and they also print their children's books, which is a very admirable thing. The children's books themselves teach children between the ages of 3 and 12 the valuable lessons of love and gratitude. And theory is that if you teach kids at that young age love and gratitude, guess what? They won't want to go off and fight endless wars in the Middle East for 40 or 50 years. They won't want to commit crimes. And maybe they'll treat each other better in a harmonious way so we can have a more beautiful, beautiful planet. The other thing I wanted to tell you, too, is that I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. I'll be happy to give people two full psychic readings a month for $100, and for $500, I'll give people two full readings a month for 6 months. Part of this money, again, is being donated to the Moto Peace Project to help them with their children's project. I've been in touch with the other side for 21 years, and my accuracy rate is very high, and I can help with relationships, past lives, career choices, and hopefully help people make the right decisions, whatever thing that they'd like to do. My email again is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I can also be reached at area code 509-750-9793, or my toll-free number within the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. Beginning next year, there's something else going on. I will be changing the name of the radio to Out of This World Radio to Out of This World Radio and Television. Because beginning February 14th of next year, I will be adding a television component to my show, and it's already started with the help of two Hollywood producers. And one of the first interviews I will have on the show will be on the Modal Peace Project and their wonderful work. So that's something coming up next year. If you'd like to if you'd like to submit suggestions on what kind of programming you'd like for the show to make it a better program, please send me your ideas to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, I wanted to let everyone know that Out of This World Radio is supported entirely by donations, and those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at outofthisworld1150.com and donate whatever you can. It goes to a good purpose, I think, and I try to make this show as interesting as I can. One thing, we've got a couple of minutes here to talk, and I'd like to share with you that one week from today, we'll be having Corey Good on the show. Corey Good is with the Secret World and American Space Program. Corey has spent 20 years on Mars and on the Moon. And for those who want to do a double take, I did say Mars and the Moon. In case you're wondering, according to Corey, there's between 6 and 7 million people, humans, on the moon, or sorry, on Mars, and another 4 to 5 million people on the moon. Now, I know at James Gellion's ranch, they're having Randy Kramer here, I believe on the weekend of September 25. And if you're interested in that, please go to the eSETI website at private invitation, eSETI.com. Yes. Private invitation, ECETI.com. That's going to be incredible, kind of getting cues from the audience on what to say while James comes. But Psionics basically is the power of thought. And that's something that Dr. Emoto used to talk about all the time. Apparently, in the secret U.S. space program, they have a complete new field called Psionics, P-S-I-O-N-I-C-S, which is the power of thought. And one of the beautiful things that Dr. Emoto used to talk about, if you can think positive intentions towards something, you have the power, the spiritual power within you to change physical reality. It's not magic, it just is, it's a fact. One of the things that our earth scientists say that we've got 22 strands of DNA, which is supposedly asleep. But with this kind of exercise, you can literally wake yourself up and do things that you think are totally incredible. Myself, I was very lucky to be trained by my foster mother, Terry, who was a master psychic. She used to do police work for the Seattle and Auburn police departments, finding missing and lost children. And when I started the spiritual journey back in November of 1994, the spirits gave me a series of tests over and over and over again to make sure that I would have accurate messages. Now, I'm only human. My accuracy rate's not 100%, but I am good, I think. And I've been trained for a long, long time in doing it. So I've been trained in getting hold of the other side, and I can do those kind of readings. But I think it's all part of the awakening process. One of the things that I know that Dr. Emoto did actually was travel to the Gulf of Mexico, where he did some water ceremony prayers, that Ho'oponopono prayer I told you about just now. And doing the kind of prayer that we did just now for the kids at Fukushima and around Fukushima really does help clean up the environment. There was an experiment that Dr. Emoto did, we did on my show last July 25th of last year, that I want to tell you about. The show went on from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and after the first half hour, I asked Dr. Emoto about 3:30 p.m. whether his intention experiments for love and gratitude could also bring peace in the Middle East. He said, most certainly. So we took a couple of minutes, and I asked all my listeners around the world to send love and light to the Palestinians and the Israelis for them to have a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange the wounded and food and medical supplies. And that was at 3:30 Seattle time. So about 8:30 p.m. I got to where I was staying that night. I turned on CNN, and I usually don't watch CNN, but I watched it that night just to see what had happened. And you know what had happened? Exactly. 8:30 p.m., just as I was flipping on the television, there was breaking news across CNN, the headline thing saying, breaking news, Palestinians and the Israelis just agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange the wounded and medical supplies. I was so thrilled. So, you know, your prayers for the kids of Fukushima and the Immortal Peace Project for their wonderful work, and Michiko Hayashi is a wonderful person who heads that effort, really does help. So I'd like to just focus in on that again. Let's say one more prayer before James comes on board here a few minutes. Repeat after me three times, please. This will make a difference. To the kids of Fukushima and to the beautiful people of Japan, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us.
Water, we love you.
Water, we thank you. Two more times, please. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us.
Water, we love you.
And water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Just one more time. Water, we are sorry.
Water, we are sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
And water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Now, believe it or not, if you did radiation monitors of Fukushima now, and for the people, the beautiful people of Japan, the radiation probably has, I know it's been, I just got the message, it has been cleaned up. More than it was before, and that does help. Just setting those kinds of love and intentions. If you can do the same kind of technique. Let's say you're dealing with somebody who's very potentially very nasty, and they're very cantankerous, and they want to argue with you all the time. Well, if you send this kind of love and light to them as well, you'll be surprised that when you first meet them after doing that kind of mental exercise, they'll be so much nicer to you. It's worked. It's worked for me, actually. And that's all part of creating a happier and much more harmonious planet. I see James walking up. What I'd like to do now is to play a quick promo for both two wonderful sponsors we have, Orion Tech Computers and the Crystal Voyage in Tacoma. I'd like to go that, and then we'll come back in just a few minutes with James Gillian from his wonderful UFO ranch at the base of Mount Adams here in Washington State.
Hello, friends. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine named Orion. He does wonderful computer work. I've hired him myself to do work, and I've been very pleased with everything he does. His website is OrionTechWorks.com. That's OrionTechWorks.com. And Orion, are you there?
I'm right here, buddy.
Okay, great, great. Could you tell my listeners, please, a little bit about the work you do?
Well, I've been basically involved in the computer field since about 1962, actually. I had the first commercial personal computer that was ever sold in America. It was actually sold by Sears Christmas catalog in the 1962 edition. It was virtually a wooden box with some IBM punch cards and some copper rods. You really couldn't do much with it. But it started my my computer career. And so since then, I've been involved in all kinds of different platforms. In the early 80s, when personal computers came out, I actually programmed the first color joystick drawing program that was available, and wrote CAD/CAM software, wrote a lot of database software. When color PCs came into the PC world, you know, the IBM PC world, I jumped on the platform as soon as we came up to 32,000 colors available, which is basically you can do.
Well,
you know,
well, I just
really great work there.
Wonderful, Orion. Well, I wanted to tell people briefly that Orion's done work for me. I used to have Windows 8.1 operating system. I had all kinds of problems with it, and Orion was able to take it off and replace it with a wonderful new Linux operating system that's very stable, and I have no problems with that whatsoever. But your email is ted@oriontechworks.com, and your telephone number is 541-633-7340.
And that's correct.
And yeah. I just want to say that you do wonderful work, and I highly recommend you.
And you can give me my Skype ID, too. For the people that are on Skype, you can get a hold of me at orion.m1.
All right, orion.m1. Well, Orion,
yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on today. And I know that I want everyone, if you have a computer problem or a software issue, please contact Orion. He'll give you some great help.
Yeah, just email me or call me, and we can take it from there.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan, for coming, taking your time today.
Oh, thanks, Ted, and keep up your good work, my friend.
All right, thank you so much. Hello, friends. I'd like to introduce a wonderful friend of mine, Juliana, who's got a wonderful new shop in downtown Tacoma at 6765 Broadway called Inspired. Juliana, please tell my listeners all about your wonderful shop.
Hi, Ted. It's a pleasure to be there. We have a wonderful shop in on Cheek Row in the historic theater district of downtown Tacoma. We specialize in beautiful crystal jewelry, gifts, tarot cards, artwork, and a lot of other things. A lot of our items are handmade and very special, and we buy from all over the world. Folks can schedule a reading, sign up for one of our engaging classes, or enjoy one of our exciting events. We do a lot of community events, and we offer a lot of unique and unusual workshops here. We're located in Antique Row in a historic theater district of downtown Tacoma. We're easily accessible from the freeway, and there's lots of parking in the area. It's super easy to get to. We're placed among the unique stores in Antique Row, and folks can come down and have a wonderful afternoon shopping in the area and having a wonderful meal at a local cafe as well. So we're located at 765 Broadway in Tacoma. All folks can come and visit us on our website, inspirednewage.com. We're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 11 to 6. And be inspired. That is definitely our logo, and we certainly follow that. We dedicate ourselves to creating an uplifting experience from the moment folks walk in and hopefully throughout all of their subsequent visits.
Wonderful, Juliana. And I want to tell people it's very easy to get there. I visited their shop here a few days ago. If you're coming from the north, from Seattle, you simply take the city center exit.
Yeah, you take the A Street exit, and you go left on 9th Avenue, and then you go right on Broadway.
Okay.
And it's super easy to find. We're just a couple of doors down from that corner.
Okay, Juliana. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful gift shop. I've been there, friends, and it's a wonderful place. And I urge all my listeners to please visit Juliana's shop.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Listen live at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, friends. We're back on the show again, and I'm continuing this wonderful the program today from Mount Adams. We're about 12 miles from the base of Mount Adams. It's one of two energy vortexes on the West Coast. And I'm sitting here with James Gillian. He's got an incredible ranch called his UFO Ranch here. Mm-hmm. And James, welcome to the program. I'm so happy you could come on today. I'll give you the headphones so you can talk.
Well, it's great to be on the show. The East City Ranch here, we had last night was insane. We had a lot of activity last night. Actually, I was laying in bed about 9:30, just getting some rest, and my whole body just started vibrating like crazy, and then I heard the people outside kind of hooting and hollering. So I guess they saw quite a few ships last night, according to some of the people that I talked to last night. But, you know, it's an ongoing thing, and there's a lot happening, and In my life right now, it's crazy because I'm doing like two radio shows and, I don't know, four or five counselings and building a barn at the same time today. So trying to keep this all together at the same time, we're just like running here. And then we'll be doing your event here and the Sky Watch and everything tonight. So it's going to be a real busy weekend.
One thing I have to ask you, James, is if you could detail to some of my friends and listeners around the world what it's like to be here and you see the ships, for example, and you've seen the orbs, because I was here in July and you called out to a Pleiadian craft. I think it was, you said it was in the fifth and sixth dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it on the left was yellow. The other half on the right was this pinkish reddish color. And they, because they're in the fifth and sixth dimensions, we're in the third, they didn't have physicality that we have in the third dimension. But what they did do was that they did, seven of them did come down, and they were purplish white. I remember that. We didn't need night vision goggles to see them because they went in all of us. There was a Japanese tour group there as well as an Australian tour group, which Greg Sullivan. But they came in, and you could actually see the orbs from the craft right to where the prayer circle was.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been an ongoing thing. We have people from all over the world come here, and we have a lot of groups coming from Japan. We have people from China, Poland, Australia, We've had a lot of Australians come here recently, Canada. I mean, I can go on and name all the different groups, but we've had tens of thousands of people come to the ranch and have their own experience and see the ships. And we've got some amazing footage, too, just recently with when the Japan group was here with Greg at the J-SETI, the Japan E-SETI. And they had some pretty amazing sightings, and they got them on film. And you know, you can hear them talking in the background. The ships are actually landing on the mountain and flying over and powering up. And it's fun to hear the group, you know, participation and excitement when the ships do come in. But, you know, it's not just seeing the physical ships. It's actually a spiritual connection that happens here, because these are very spiritually and technologically advanced beings that are coming in right now. And we tell people, you know, we need to rise to the occasion if we are going to have a contact and have closer connections with these beings. And that's mainly what we focus here on, you know, spiritual transpersonal release sessions and cleaning up our consciousness and you know, getting ready for contact. Because, you know, a lot of people come here and they demand that the ships land and prove themselves to them and everything else. And, you know, they pull their checkbooks out and they say, how much money do you need for a ride on the ship, you know? And it's things like that. And I just tell them, you know, I'm not sure if I want you in my living room, let alone have you up on the ship. And these people are all more sensitive than I am. So, you know, we have to rise the occasion and clean up our consciousness and make ourselves worthy of having contact. You know, we have to be something they can work with, because if you're totally focused on your own self-interest, they're not concerned with you in any way whatsoever. They're here for the awakening healing process they're basically here for planetary liberation, to get us out from under this old draconian network that we've been, you know, under the thumb for so long.
Well, I don't want to forget your other friends too, the Sasquatches around here, James. This is a whole another area, but I have to ask about your Sasquatch friends.
Yeah, there's quite a few that come here. There's a whole family. We've had some very large ones come in, but the latest one, we have a juvenile. I hate to use that word, juvenile. It sounds like juvenile delinquent, but he is kind of a prankster. But he's a younger one, and he comes in, and what's funny is he likes to run up to people or just appear in places and kind of let people know he's here, and then takes off again and just disappears. But he was here with Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero, and Clyde Lewis came out of the guest house and he ran right up to him and skidded and slid and stopped, you know, smiling at him, and then took off and running through the orchard. And we saw where he ran through the orchard, which was bizarre because the branches covered the path and he went right through the orchard. And the interesting thing about that was that the branches didn't move. So they have this ability to go interdimensional or almost to go non-physical and appear and disappear whenever they want. And I've seen them phase out many times. And I think that's the reason why nobody's been finding any bones or anything else, because I think they spend a lot of their time on a whole different dimension. And they choose, you know, when we're going to see them. It's the Native Americans say, if you go out seeking Sasquatch, you'll never find him. But if Sasquatch wants to find you, it will. And so it's a matter of us, again, rising to the occasion and mastering our fears and being ready to connect with these beings. They're very, very sensitive. They're extremely tapped in to nature. And they have abilities that go along with that deep connection with nature. So they can kind of shape-shift or appear or disappear whenever they want. And I know that messes with a lot of researchers' programs that are trying to turn them into just big dumb apes, you know. But the big dumb apes have outsmarted them on every turn. You know, even their technology. They have infrared cameras out there. They have motion sensors. They have all this technology. And they put the fruit out to catch the Bigfoot, you know, or Sasquatch. And he comes in and gets the fruit every time, you know, and doesn't leave a trace of his existence, which I think is hilarious. So anyway, these are very advanced beings, and we need to, you know, start treating them, you know, accordingly. And also, too, I love this area here, especially in the area, local area around here, that people have actually written legislation to protect Bigfoot. And, you know, if you shoot Bigfoot or harm Bigfoot, it's just like shooting a human. So, and I think that's great that they are, you know, passing legislation to protect the Bigfoot. And, you know, hopefully they'll start, you know, protecting his area, because they're burning up and logging and destroying the forest here on a massive scale. And hopefully one day they'll respect, you know, his home and start taking care of it, and like they take care of it.
I have to share this story with you, James. During the last month, I was given a book called Dance of Heavenly Bliss by a Canadian psychic named Garnet Schulheiser, who's been on my program before in August. And he had written through his contacts in the spirit world that Sasquatch was actually a hybridization between a native big ape on this planet and an extraterrestrial that was done many millennia ago. And they're actually able to move between this dimension and third into the fifth dimension. So they go in and out of this dimension, and they're completely telepathic. So that if you approach them, if you've got bad intents, if you're thinking about shooting them, they already know what you're thinking, and they will simply vanish into the other dimension.
Exactly.
Other dimension. Now, there have been some times where they've been photographed or the movie camera's been on them, but that's mostly just, you know, every once in a while they'll make a mistake.
Yeah.
And somebody will catch them, but it's the exception rather than the rule, because they can read your minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people to come up and visit James, it's always nice to have good thoughts and good intentions, because if you don't, James has his own psychic abilities, he'll pick up on it. So, but everyone here today has got good intentions, and I know that. I feel it, really wonderful people here in the audience. But I'm just saying that if you're out in the woods, if you're a hunter and you're trying to shoot one of these things, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
They'll simply go into another dimension. You may try to fire at them, but that bullet's going to whiz right by them or go through them in thin air, because they will have disappeared into the fifth dimension before, by the time the bullet goes close to them.
You know, I agree. And, you know, speaking about the negative thoughts, we have to really stay on top of that, because it really destroys your experience. You know, we see with our brain chooses out of billions of bits of information what is going to be our reality. Mm-hmm. So people say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. And it's really improper, especially if you get into neuroscience, because it just doesn't work that way. So you have to have an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent to really experience these things. And, you know, we get the occasional debunkers, you know, every once in a while. And you know, we do beat them severely about the head and shoulders. And we do have a backhoe that we can take care of things with. But, no, we're just kidding. I mean, there are people here that do want to take a shovel and bang it over their heads. We had a guy here that used to work for NASA, was trying to reject everything that was happening, and jumping up and down and screaming is amazing. And these ships came in, you could see the cockpit on these ships, you know, no sound, no noise, low, beautiful light ships coming in. And he was trying to say it was the cockpit of a low flying plane, you know, that was I go, you know what? Now to try to deny the obvious, you know, that the ships are here and these aren't satellites, they aren't meteors, and, you know, they're definitely beyond our technology.
Well, that's incredible. You know, if you can, James, I'd love to, if you could share a couple of extraterrestrial stories with my many listeners around the world. I know you've been visited many times. Is there a story you'd like to share today?
Well, there's quite a few. I don't know where to start, but you know, we've had all kinds of experiences here, from being, you know, beamed up on the ships to, you know, being hit with golden balls of energy that restored all my past lives and memories of those past lives. I've been on the physical ships. I've gone up on the Federation ships, which are quite interesting, because there's beings, you know, everything from little short guys, you know, wearing robes, to very tall giants on those ships. There's actually feline beings on these ships. So there's a real mix of energy on some of these ships, the Federation ships. And then there's some ships that are just actually hail from a certain system, like the Orion Council of Light or the Pleiades system and things like that. And some of them have mixed crews as well. So, you know, the universe is so diverse out there. We have to master our fear and get over our judgment, you know, and really tap into our own inner sensitivity, and also maintain our own self-authority, because we need to be able to sense and feel who's on these ships, the beings we're contacting. Are they in our highest and best good? And sometimes set boundaries, you know, if they aren't in our highest and best good, and make, you know, alliances with the benevolent ones to come in and take care of anything that might be malevolent. So, I mean, there's so many stories. I don't even know where to start. You know?
Well, how about the feline beings and the half cat and half human that came to visit you one time?
Well, she comes here quite often, Bagheet, and she's kind of a regular here and watches over the ranch. But when I first experienced her, I was doing a Tibetan meditation. I went out of body and ended up on the ship, and I was looking at this being in front of me, beautiful blonde hair, tall, you know, and you know, being male, you know, I said, you know, like, who's that? You know, like this. So she was very beautiful from the back. Well, she stood up, you know, and ran towards me and gave me this huge hug, and I just melted. And it was like long lost brother type hug. And when I looked into her face, I realized she wasn't totally human, that she was actually feline, you know, feline humanoid.
Part cat. And she had like cat eyes.
Yeah.
And I remember the picture that she showed. She had pointed ears. Mm-hmm. And did she have whiskers too?
I didn't notice any whiskers. She had really close fur that was very close to her face, but very beautiful face, beautiful big eyes, and, you know, long golden kind of mane or blonde mane.
I have to ask you this question. I love cats myself. I've got a cat named Fluffy, of course. He's the mascot of my show. He often gives me a lot of good ideas for programming. But did your friend purr when she was hugging you?
actually, there was kind of a small purr, but I do have the lion beings actually recorded, and they purr. And if you ever heard a lion purr, it's incredible. And they have a very, very deep voice. And it's actually scary to some people when they hear this recording, because it's coming from a 17-foot-tall, seventh-dimensional lion being, and the voice is so deep and so powerful when people hear it, it scares them, and then he starts purring in the background, and it's just amazing. And when we got this recording, it came over three phones all at the same time. My friend I was staying with in Hawaii, and actually a woman named Jennifer, actually, and she's a lawyer for the Cherokee Nation and the Hawaiian Nation, and working on restoring their rights. And so it came to all three of us at the same time. So it was an amazing feat of technology, and the sound recording was just mind-blowing.
Amazing. Maybe during the second hour, if it's convenient, I would love to if you could play it, if possible.
I will, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we're going to continue our discussion here, but for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today actually from 12 miles away from the base of Mount Adams, which is one of the two energy vortexes and entrances to the inner Earth here on the West Coast. And we're talking about feline, part human, part kitty cat beings, and part lion beings, who James has met.
Yeah, there's quite a large, difference out there in the multiverse. It's kind of funny. We think about the 200 billion suns in our Milky Way galaxy alone, and all the planets revolving around them that they're finally talking about, which they haven't talked about for so long. Mm-hmm. And then now you take, you add up the 11 dimensions that they agree we have. And they have, like, so you take in our third dimension, you've got 200 billion suns with planets around them. You've got 500 billion galaxies out there, each some bigger than this galaxy, than the Milky Way galaxy. And then you've got the other dimensions. And for us to think that we're it, that we're the only intelligent life in the multiverse, is beyond ridiculous. I can't even wrap my head around that belief.
There's one very important point that I want to stress today, and that, from my own studies and my own conversations with those who've had contact with the ETs and myself as well, the true basic nature of humans is to be benevolent, to be good-hearted, to be kind, to be loving, to be wonderful. That's our true nature. It's not to go off and fight wars that last for 50 years in the Middle East with no end in sight. That's not our true nature. Our true nature is to be loving and kind. And that's what I think, that's why your work is so important, James, is to wake people up to that fact, and I try to do the same on my radio show, too.
Exactly. You know, I just got off an interview with Sonia Barrett, which was great, and we were talking about, like, we have been a frog in the pot, you know, and little by little they've been shutting us down, and, you know, with all the food additives and the chemtrails and the, you know, psychotronics and HARP and all these other things that we really need to do there's a guy named Harold, I think Vela, that people need to Google and look at his work on the chemtrails. But, you know, there's a huge transhuman agenda going on. It's created by negative, AI, artificial intelligence, and negative ETs was brought here. And there are some malevolent ETs, but the good news is that the benevolent ones far outweigh the malevolent ones, and they're here on our behalf. And we have everything from, you know, the benevolent Anunnaki that still operate under universal law and the Council of 12 that returned to right or wrong and shift that. We've got the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, the Andromedans, the Sirians. You know, all of these beings are stepping up to the plate now. And a lot of them are the 12 major star nations that were involved in terraforming in the very beginning of Earth. And they share in genetics, both human genetics and plant and animal genetics as well. And they've been, you know, observing the Earth for quite some time. There was a kind of a takeover by the negative agenda, the draconian programs and Archon networks. And now we've gotten through that, and now we're on the upswing, and we're on a huge cleanup, you know, of the malevolent one, and we're getting back on track to, you know, this was supposed to be an Eden, you know, a place where physicality could expand, you know, and evolve to its highest potential. And it was never meant to become what it's become. And so we have been hijacked, and there's a huge planetary liberation going on, and all these other beings are part of that. And a lot of us are the ground crew down here that are holding a frequency and speaking out and creating these changes. And, you know, and I think it's very important for people to get in touch with their soul purpose, their unique soul purpose, and get out of the matrix and start getting on with turning this planet around.
I wanted to ask you about chemtrails, James. What has your friends off-planet said about chemtrails? Why are they doing it?
You know, I've been trying to find some purposeful good in the chemtrails, and I'm just not seeing it. You know, I'm not seeing anything. They say they're solar radiation management. They're trying to cool the planet down, but they're actually, you know, the blanket they're creating is actually heating things up and trapping the gases. It's making even more of a mess. There's so many different levels to the chemtrail program, everything from, you know, blocking the sun, which is conscious. The energy coming from the sun is consciousness and energy packets. It's intelligent, and it's helping us to evolve and creating DNA changes. So they're blocking that program out. Also, the elements they're using, barium, aluminum, and strontium, are very, very negative. They're accumulative. They build up in our system. They shut down our immune system and create all kinds of opportunistic diseases to come in. They have other biologicals that they're dropping, you know, smart dust and chemtrails and the Morgellons. All of these things are engineered, you know, it's part of the transhuman agenda, you know, they want to be able to control everything with their psychotronics and their HARP technologies and things and have an off switch. And so whenever they want, you know, to switch somebody off, they can do it. Basically, they can create a heart attack or a disease or a cancer or whatever, and they have that ability now. So they're priming us for this technology so they can have total domination, total control, and actually put us all on an off switch, basically.
I wanted to ask you about, have you been sprayed here, and where do you think the planes are flying from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely getting sprayed here, and actually I think we get a little extra spray. We get a lot of sprays coming out of McCord, where some of the colonels there have been bragging about how they have been spraying, you know, the Gillen Ranch or the ET Ranch, and saying, you know, they're going to eradicate myself and the ranch. And so, you know, we have the names of these colonels, and we'll be going public with them. They have been turned over to certain other agencies, but, when we see these people with their suits, you know, and their stars and their medals and everything else, I look at these people who have taken an oath, you know, and we're all supposed to look up to these people, and I see what they're doing and what they're involved in. It just sickens me, and I think it should sicken the rest of the people in the military to realize that they're participating in these chemtrail programs. And, you know, on any level, it's treason, it's premeditated murder. A lot of people are dying, children are getting sick, women. You know, where's the honor in spraying people at 10,000 feet and creating a slow kill? There's nothing to be respected with these people. And anybody that knows about this and is not standing up and not, you know, calling it like it is and stopping this, to me, you know, they have no honor. There is no courage there. There is no, you know, there used to be a day when the military was very honorable. They fought for God and country, and and they really believed in what they were doing, and now it's turned into a corporate brood squad, and we have these unconscious twisted psychopaths that are calling the shots at the top, and I think the bottom up have to rise up and just say we're not going to participate anymore.
Do you think eventually trials will be held and they'll be brought to justice?
Definitely. You know, it's going to happen. They're not frequency specific to the evolution of the Earth. And the Earth is aligning with universal law. It's being brought back into alignment. These people that are, you know, focused on tyranny and acting against humanity, the Earth, and that are participating in these deeds are going to have a serious repercussion or a backlash. And it's just a matter of time before this all comes back at them. So, you know, it's basically universal law. It's quite simple. You know, as you sow, so shall you reap. You know, whatever you do unto others is going to come back to you. I mean, you can give this in 10 different ways, you know. Like Buddha said, a fool and his mischief is like fresh milk, you know. As sure as a cart follows the horse that pulls it, it will catch up. So every master has talked about this, and they, you know, you just don't do things that are harmful to humanity and the Earth. You don't harm your fellow brother and sister here on the planet. There's repercussions to that, and serious soul evolution repercussions, and people need to pay attention to this. And it doesn't matter on what level you're participating. It's all known. It's all documented. And it's actually documented within our own souls that we cannot run away from. So, you know, no matter where you go, there you are, and there's your karma, and it's going to manifest in ways that we know not of.
You had a wonderful UFO conference here in July, which I attended, and I met Randy Kramer, wonderful guy. He's going to be having a seminar here September 25th, and I urge everyone to check it out and do attend if you can. And the website is www.privateinvitationeseti.com. One of the things that Randy told me privately is that he thought that in the future there's going to be some trials of the people who've basically sold us out and done things that they shouldn't have to humanity.
It does seem to be going in that area. You know, we also had Winston Strout was just here, and he has a lot of insider information. And he said, you know, heads are about ready to roll, and there are going to be some serious arrests coming up. And he has his finger on the trigger, you know, on very high levels. He's very aware of the pulse of what's going on. And it does seem to, and from my information, too, on people that I know, that some things I can't talk about because I am in touch with some of the highest powers on the planet, you might say, even the most wealthiest people on the planet. And they realize now that they have to change. They have to get behind the awakening healing process. They have to divert their assets and their wealth and their power towards this, and they're joining together, and they're just saying enough of this old draconian program. And so the people that are aligned with it are going to be given the option, you know, to basically, you know, come clean and stop, you know, they will be granted immunity if they stop right now and stop what they're doing and come clean and shift their energies in their direction. But if they don't, then there are going to be some extremely heavy consequences. And that's where it seems to be going right now.
I think one of the lessons of World War II, and especially in the trials of the Nazis in 1947 after the defeat of Nazi Germany, was that it wasn't good enough argument to say that you're simply following orders.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the orders that people are given now are illegal. You know, they go against universal law and even international law. So we need to bone up on international law and bone up on the oath that we took, and not do anything that is outside of that oath and outside of universal law or international law. And I think what's happening now is a lot of people are standing up and saying, I am not going to carry out these orders. They're in complete opposition to who I am and why I'm here and universal law. They're illegal orders, and we're not going to participate anymore. And I'm really hoping that more and more people do this and more whistleblowers come forth and really point the finger at who's responsible. And you want to know who's responsible for this, just look at their investments. You know, if they're heavily invested in Monsanto and Blackwater Blackwater and the chemtrails, you know, like our Mr. Gates is, you know, these are not the wonderful people that we think they are. And when they brag about how their inoculations are going to take care of the population program, and they inoculate people with poliovirus, and there's 12 cases, and the next thing you know, there's 45,000 cases. You know, we have to take a hard look at these people and what is their agenda, and why are they not behind bars, and why are they not having serious consequences to what they've been doing.
Do you think there now, I know that after many years of apartheid in South Africa, where the blacks there suffered horribly under the white-dominated mm-hmm. government, that they had what's called a Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Exactly.
Where they didn't have they didn't really punish anyone, but they did ask people to come forward and share the truth of what happened. Do you see something like that happening in the future?
From my understanding, they did punish people, but they gave them the option, the Truth and Reconciliation, they gave them the option to tell the truth and to try to make restitution and reconcile. If they didn't, then they followed through, you know, with the punishment, whatever that may be. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but there was a lot of leniency in it. And that's what it's all about. I mean, we've done a lot of things in error. We've made a lot of decisions that weren't in our highest and best good. We've been misled into taking these paths. And I think the only way out is some major Truth and Reconciliation boards, you know, and get competent scientists and competent, you know, people on these boards that have a long history of service to humanity, the earth. We pick our leaderships as to how much power and wealth they have and who they can buy, and is why everything's in the toilet right now. If you go to a spiritually advanced planet like the Pleiades or something like that, they pick their leadership, you know, according to their spiritual awareness, their abilities, and also their track record of humanitarian work or service to the society. And so it's a whole different concept. And, you know, they actually take their kids up on the ship at around age 9, and they power the ship up, and it becomes a light principle, which is a near-death experience to them. And it throws them right into unity consciousness. They realize they're one with everything, and they are a light being, and there's a greater light being surrounding them. And when they come back, they know what these kids' unique purpose is, and they give them all they can be to reach their highest potential. And if we started doing things like that or something similar, we'd take a quantum leap in evolution, and that's where we need to go. We need this old system, it's not fixable. It just needs to go.
I have to tell you this. In 1994, I visited Billy Meyer's Star Center outside Zurich, Switzerland.
Yeah.
And I got some pictures of Pleiadians, and they look just like us, except that they're a little taller. The earlobes are slightly pointed, but other than that, being a little taller, they live for 1,000 years on average. Somebody who's 30 years old, Pleiadian, they're actually 300 years old. And we have that same capability, I think, once we spiritually advance.
Yeah, we do. You know, we have technology that's basically out of this world. We have the ability to create the longevity and to really keep us going like hundreds of years. We have the technology, we have these chambers, regeneration chambers. Randy Kramer talks about it, where they lose legs and arms and they just regenerate, you know, in these chambers. You know, it's sad because, you know, you look at all the troops that we send out there, you know, to, you know, as the corporate brute squad to, you know, maintain the economy and the petrodollar and to keep the oil flowing. And we just leave these guys, you know, walking around in wheelchairs, if they're walking at all, you know, and crippled and losing arms and legs and everything else, when they could be regenerated. And I think that's what has a lot of the people, even in the secret space fleet and in the military, really pissed off, because, you know, their comrades, their friends and everything are being blown to pieces, and they don't care. They're just being used as cannon fodder, and they don't care, and they're just leaving them, you know, and, you know, trying to let them come back into a society, you know, missing a few limbs and shell-shocked and with post-traumatic stress and all these other things. I mean, I can't remember, I think it's something like 200 troops a day or something like that are committing suicide. It's some ridiculous number.
Wow.
You know, because of what's happened to them and how they've just been left to die or left to in misery or left very sick and ill from all the other things that were used over there. The, you know, they used all these chemtrails and all the things over in Iraq, and along with psychotronic weapons and things like that. And a lot of the troops were exposed to these chemicals as well. So, you know, it's something that we need to look at.
Okay, well, thank you so much, James. We're going to a top of the hour break here, but in a few minutes, we'll be back on the air with James Gillian. We'll be be playing a live recording, or actually not a live, but a pre-recorded recording of feline beans, lion beans that James recorded here recently. But please hold on, friends. We'll be back in just a few minutes after the top of the hour with James Gillian from the UFO Ranch.